Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you again for a wonderful show that's prepared for you today. Hey, thanks for tuning in because this show is for you and about you. Those of you that work hard for your money, but you're ready for your money to work hard for you, that you want your money to actually get you, really get you creating passive income and cash flow and prosperity and freedom now. So you work because you want to, not because you have to. So you can be with those that you love and do the things that you love when you want to do it. And I'm so grateful you guys are here. I'm grateful that you guys sharing this because you guys are Ripplers. You don't just want freedom and prosperity for yourself, but you know that if you can liberate yourself as well, right? If you can definitely create comfort and freedom for you and your family, that can create a ripple effect, not just for you, but for others around you, your community, the country, and across the world. And I'm honored to have you guys be a part of this and to be following and being part of this movement. So thank you so much for being here. Hey, as a reminder, check out our website, MoneyRipples.com. There's a great book on there called Beyond Rice and Beans that you can download and get all these great cash flow tips that allow you to free up the money so you can actually find ways to create passive income from there. So right now I want to talk about, actually somebody had emailed me recently and said, hey, Chris, you should do a podcast on this. They were asking about the whole velocity banking concept and using a HELOC instead of just a normal first mortgage, using a HELOC to eventually, basically move money through and pay off your house faster, right? Because essentially you kind of have your paychecks deposited into that and then you pay your bills from there, trying to cut down the daily interest and things of that nature. And they said, Chris, what do you think of that strategy? And I'll give you guys my quick answer right here. I think I mentioned it about a year or so ago when it came up as well, because it's been a popular topic for the last few years. By the way, this is not a new one. This is kind of like the Australian line of credit that was out there popular even during the recession. I remember people bringing this up during the recession too. So it's not a new strategy. The thing is, I personally don't like the strategy at all for a few reasons. One is because they jack up your interest rate pretty high comparatively. So yeah, you might save a little bit on the daily interest, so to speak, but because you're paying a higher interest, you really don't save much. Two, you can actually do the same thing just by putting extra money onto your own mortgage. Now, granted, you should be able to get access to that money. If you put extra on it, you could cash it out, right? If you need to get access to cash. However, I've learned from the last recession, I know many have, that the banks can change the rules on you. They can say, you know what? No, we are going to take away that line of credit, or we're going to limit the use of that line of credit because we don't trust home values, or there's a lot of people trying to access cash, almost making a run for the bank, so they'll cut it off. So again, you kind of lose control potentially on that one. But I do like the fact that it does have that ability to have a line of credit. But again, that higher interest rate, and I'm just not in favor of paying down a house. I don't mind the fact that you have some equity in your home. I think that's great. I think you should have some equity in your home and not fully 100% leverage it, However, I do not believe you should pay off your home because that is the one asset that is like, it's almost like it's pretty darn close to trying to pay down a car. many people say, I just got to pay off that car because it's a depreciating asset. Well, your house doesn't necessarily depreciate. It's actually an appreciating asset. It's very low interest. You get to write off that interest in many cases, depending on the price of your home. And you know what? It's actually an opportunity cost to pay off your house or to put more money towards it. Now, if you didn't know anything better, right? If you didn't even trust yourself with money, maybe locking it away and giving it to the bank by paying down your principal and letting the bank have it instead, maybe that's the best thing for you. But I would imagine that many of you on this show, if you're listening, you're probably already at a place where You're trying to be a better steward of your money. You want your money to start working for you instead of always working for it. And I've had people before. I mean, I had somebody just recently where he was on a great roll. He was about 10 years away from paying off his house. He was in his 30s, 10 years away from paying it off. He's been maxing out his 401k and saving everything possible. And I think I mentioned this before too. I mean, after 10 years, he would have almost $1 million saved up in his 401k and he would have a paid off house. And the total cash flow per month he'd be saving is about $4,200 a month. However, we're looking at cashing out money from his mortgage, investing that, even at conservative returns, we can still get his cash flow up, after about 10 years to about $12,000 a month. And that's even with still having the mortgage, no paid off mortgage, still having a mortgage payment. So, I mean, almost a triple difference there in just 10 years. Now you're probably thinking, okay, yeah, sure, Chris, maybe, maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you believe it. Maybe you already know it's true because you've done it. But I want to kind of go into the numbers with you. So I don't want to just make this theory. I want to actually get into the numbers a little bit because it does cost you. So for example, let's just say you have a $300,000 mortgage balance, right? And say you have a 4.25% interest, which is kind of the interest going right now. The rates have dropped a little bit. It's kind of nice. It was up over 4.5%. Now it's down to 4.25%. Now at 4.25% for 30-year mortgage at $300,000, you will pay, if you just pay the minimum payments, you will pay $231,000 in interest. So it means total between principal and interest payments, you're paying about $530,000, right? Now, I used to focus on this as a mortgage broker. I used to tell people, hey, if you want to stick it back to the bank, just pay it off early. Start paying it down. You might get it paid off in a couple years sooner if you do that way, right? And so I would teach them that kind of strategy. It's like, oh, yeah, if you want to get it back to, if you want to stick it back to the bank, just pay this off early. Now, understand that almost everything, actually, I would venture to say pretty much everything you've been taught financially in the mainstream financial media, everything about how you save to how you pay off debt has come from one source. Now, you might say financial advisors, and that's true, but understand that financial advisors get it from a source past them, a source that's bigger than them, which are banks and financial institutions. Banks want you to pay off your debt faster. Now, you might think, well, why? They don't make as much interest. Oh, no, they make more if you do. Because here's the deal. One, if you had a mortgage loan, you'll pay most of the interest up front because it's based on the balance. You pay the interest on the balance. Now, of course, as you do pay it down over time, sure, less and less is going to interest. But you got to understand that there's a concept out there called arbitrage. Banks are essentially taking your money to make a better return on that money. So let's just say you put an extra $1,000 down on your mortgage, right? To pay on your principal. Well, that's $1,000 back in the bank's pocket that they can now turn around and use and loan out to make more interest on top of that and at the higher rates. So, you give them $1,000, they can loan out $1,000. But wait, there's more. It doesn't just stop there because not only do they do that, but they also have what's called fractional reserve banking. They can loan out up to 10 times the amount of money they have in reserves. So that $1,000, guess what? That $1,000 of cash in their pocket, cash is a fully leveraged asset for them. They can loan out $10,000. So yeah, you might have saved yourself a few cents of interest that month, but for them, you just helped them make bank. You just allowed them to do a $10,000 car loan at maybe 4% or 5%, and they're going to start making some money on that. So understand that when you pay your house off early, it puts them, not only does it give them the better ability to create more arbitrage and loan out more money faster, and it creates a speed and velocity of money, but it also puts them at less risk because if you happen to default at some point on that mortgage, really you're not in the clear until it's fully paid off, right? Really either you're mortgaged or you're not. No matter what the mortgage balance is, there's some risk for both parties. Now, the more mortgaged you are, you would think you'd be at more risk. That's not true. The bank is at more risk because they don't want to take back a property where you're fully leveraged, where there's no value in it. They don't want the property. They invest in making money, off of your money, right? So they don't want to do that. So they're trying to take that money and make more with it. But if you don't pay it back faster or now the money's all locked up, still in the equity of the home, they can't do anything. But if you pay your mortgage down faster, say you got $200,000 of equity in that mortgage, in that home, guess what? if you're in a foreclosure situation, who do you think they'll foreclose on first? The person that has a $300,000 home with a $300,000 mortgage, or the person that has a $100,000 mortgage on a $300,000 home? Who do you think they'll foreclose on first? You got it, the one with equity. So in truth, you're at more risk. And by the way, even from a legal standpoint, if you pay off your house, even if you don't have the risk from the bank, you're still at more risk because you still have to pay taxes. If you don't pay your taxes, that property can be taken away from you. And two, if you get sued, if you don't have all the proper structures in place, they can tap into your home equity. Your home equity is not protected from lawsuits. And you've also lost the ability to write off the interest on that mortgage. So now I'm not saying get the highest interest rate mortgage just so you get a write-off. That's not the case. It's not dollar for dollar. But if you're going to pay interest, you might as well get some benefit for it, right? And so that's that right there is should be reason to say, maybe I don't want to pay this off faster because what if I could be a better steward of this money? What if I could use this money to make more money with it? Now, here's where the numbers come in. Get ready. Buckle up. Okay? Now, just because I said numbers, for some of you, turn off your minds. Do not do that. Just know this. Just know that when I just said this earlier, $300,000 mortgage at 4.25%, you pay $231,000 in interest over the life of that loan. Remember, I use that as a scare tactic. But here's the thing. What if you had the $300,000 to pay it off? What if you could sell off all kinds of other assets? You could, both belongings, cash, retirement accounts, whatever it might be, right? You're cashing everything out to get to pay off this mortgage. Your best case scenario is pay off the mortgage today. That's where you have the most interest savings of that $231,000. You pay a little bit extra onto it, you're not going to save that much interest. The truth is that you're not going to save that much at all. You might save some thousands, but it's not going to be nearly as much. It's actually kind of piddly when you think about it. By the way, don't do biweekly payments. Biweekly payments actually don't save you money as much as you could if you just did an extra payment once a year. You would actually pay off your house faster and save a little bit on interest if you just did that versus just those biweekly payments that the mortgage companies tell you to do. So anyways, back to this. $231,000 is what it costs you. Now, what if you had $300,000? You could pay off your mortgage today to save that $231,000 right now. Because at least now, the mortgage payment, that's about $1,475 a month. You just say, cool, I can start building up my savings from zero, right? Which is the Dave Ramsey method, just so you know. It's like, great, now let's start building up savings. Now I finally got debt-free. Now I can start saving, which is actually costly. So what if you didn't? What if you took that $300,000, you just said, I have $300,000, I could pay off my house, but I'm not going to. I choose not to. I'm going to invest this money instead. And say you invested it at a whopping, let's just say you got an online money market. I know that I have an online money market right now paying 2%. So now you're losing 4.25% on the mortgage. You're now doing 2% on your savings. What would you have? If you're $300,000 compounded at a 2% rate of return, you guys are probably thinking, if it's 100, what was it? $231,000 at 4.25, what do you think 2% earnings would be after 30 years on $300,000? Now, a lot of people would say, well, it's probably going to be less, obviously, because it's a less interest rate you're losing. Here's the answer. Total interest earned. This is not including the $300,000 that's still there. Just the interest, just this variable, right? Total interest earned on 2% for 30 years on $300,000, $243,400 and change. Now, wait a minute. Didn't I just say at 4.25% on the mortgage, you're going to pay $231,000 in interest? How is it even possible that you've earned $243,000? How'd you earn $12,000 more earning less than half the interest? Here's the answer. When you're saving money, what kind of interest do they call that? When it's saving and it's reinvesting itself, we call that what? Compound interest, right? Here's the question. On a mortgage, is it compound interest? Is the interest compounding against you? No, it's not. It's simple interest. Simple interest, meaning that as time goes on, you pay less and less to interest and more to principal, right? You've seen this before on your car payments, your mortgage payments, whatever it might be. As you pay the payment, more and more goes towards principal, less and less to interest. It's not that the interest rate changed. That's not the case. It's not like they did any funny math to try to pull one on you. No, it's just simple math, simple interest. That's all it is. Is that obviously in the beginning when there's a higher balance, you pay more in interest. But as you pay that balance down, Even though you have the same interest rate, still less is being charged because the balance keeps going down. So the interest being charged is on a smaller balance, therefore less interest is being charged. That's why your fixed monthly payment goes more and more to principal, less and less to interest. It's not the same. Compound interest is like a snowball going the opposite direction. It grows, while simple interest over time, it shrinks. They're not the same number. That's why 2% beats it. Now here's what's going to blow your mind. What if you earned the same interest rate? What if you found a great CD, currently a great CD, at 4.25%, and you put that $300,000 in there for 30 years? Now remember, the interest you earned on that mortgage, you know, the total interest you paid on that mortgage, if you made minimum payments for 30 years, is $231,000. If you earned the same 4.25% for 30 years on that $300,000, you made $745,000 in interest. In total, you actually have now over $1 million, but $745,000 interest. You netted over $500,000 more by earning the same interest rate as your mortgage. The same. You want to keep going? Check this out. 6%. 6% for 30 years on $300,000. $1.423 million. In this case, right here, you earned almost $1.2 million more just by earning a very small 6% interest. So that even means if the market happens to average, you know, and it could easily average 6% for 30 years, because it's averaged about 7.55% for the last 25. So if it did that, congratulations, you actually kicked the crap out of your mortgage, even with the stock market type of return. What if it's 10%, which is not a stock market return? 10% is very conservative with basically kind of alternative investments we talk about. This is where it gets fun. 10% on $300,000 for 30 years. $4.935 million, about almost $5 million. If you subtract out the $231,000 that cost you in interest on the mortgage, okay, cool. Now you're left with $4.7 million. Congratulations, you just made millions more with just a 10% return. If that's at 12%, which, you know, I know there's things out there that'll pay 12%. 12%, that's $8.69 million in interest. So, you know, now it's starting to get pretty negligible, whatever interest you paid on that mortgage. And even at 15% interest, and I know some of you guys are better investors, you actually know what this kind of return's like. Sometimes you do better than this. But at 15%, $300,000, $19.5 million in interest. $19.5 million in interest that you've earned over 30 years. Now you might say, well, Chris, yeah, but you know, once you pay off that mortgage, yeah, you don't have any savings. Say you liquidated everything, but now you got that $1,475 a month back in your life. Couldn't you just save that up and start compounding that? And the answer is, yeah, you could. You absolutely could. And that's what a lot of people start to do. But you run the numbers, it will never catch up. Even if you earn the same returns, which by the way, if you're the type of person to pay off your mortgage, you're probably not earning great returns on your money either. Because, you know, you have that scarcity battle going on. You're kind of debating between the mainstream media and then mainstream advice of financial planning versus what actually works, more of an investor perspective, right? And by the way, for those of you who are business owners, you already know you can earn way better returns doing this. This is why for you, if as long as you're making wise, you know, as a wise steward, you're making great wise decisions with your business and getting multiple ROIs, you know you could beat 15% a year. You know you can. You can know you could do way better and get that cash flow up a lot higher and start building up more cash. And so that's my point, guys, is that paying off your mortgage can be costing you millions of dollars. Now, again, if you're a spender, if you're someone who's not a wise steward of your money, okay, well then maybe paying off your mortgage is the best thing because it gets out of your hands. It won't give you freedom. I'll promise you that. But at least you won't have the risk of losing your house, right? But for those of you that are actually looking to be wiser stewards, those of you that maybe have been good savers, but now you're just like, you've realized that being a saver doesn't cut it. You need to be a better steward. You need a better investor. You need to be wiser with your money in a way that it multiplies, not just slowly accumulates and grows and takes forever and takes a couple lifetimes to actually give you the cash flow you need. You know, this is kind of where it can be. And so remember, that's just a $300,000 mortgage, guys. That's not a huge amount. That's actually kind of an average mortgage that I'm seeing nowadays. You know, so think of that. I mean, let that sink in. This, by the way, blew my mind. I didn't even know this until about 10 years ago. And when I learned it, it completely rocked my world and blew my mind because I realized, wow, what is it costing us? And man, you start combining this with other things and strategies, it could seriously be the difference between freedom in retirement and no retirement at all. It's that big of a difference, guys. So anyways, I hope this is useful for you. If you have any questions, reach out to me, chris@moneyripples.com. In the meantime, have a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.